Did you think adulthood was going to be freedom and loads of money to do whatever you want? And then you realised it's just one big panic.
It's a trick.
It is a trick, isn't it? Today we're talking about panic at the adulthood, why adulthood is actually awful, but we all have to do it.
Welcome to Late Bloomers, where we are getting our lives together.
Eventually.
Oh, don't be like that.
Sorry, no.
We can't have a miserable episode.
No, it's not miserable, but it is a bit rubbish. We all thought that, like, to me, when I was young, I thought adulthood, I have my own place, my own rules, my own money.
I mean, that's all true.
Yeah, but it's just stress after stress after stress.
Yeah.
You entered adulthood at like 17.
Yeah.
So to be fair, you've got probably more of a story. Actually, I don't even know if I'm there now.
I don't think you are. Not true, true. Do you know what I mean?
No, I'm being kind of dragged there slowly, kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the top 10 adulthood panics and our experience and how we're trying to make it through in the hope that our listeners might relate, might feel better in their panic.
Or trapped in childhood like Peter Pan.
I think Peter Pan had it right.
I say it, same.
Live in Neverland, don't grow up.
Same.
Vibes. Okay.
You start then.
Number one, big adulthood panic is money meltdowns.
God, what do you mean? Have you named all of these?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Money meltdowns.
Yeah.
So what, just the stress of finance?
Yeah. Awful. So you can lead us off. Becoming a dad at 18.
Oh, I had no money. I was 18 in the November, Sia was born in the February. So I had 3 months. Well, I didn't even have 3 months. It was 3 months before Sia was due. And like, I had an entry level job at that point in the bank. I was a cashier, I think. So I don't know, back then, not that long ago, but 22 years ago, jeez, I was earning like 700 quid a month.
Okay.
And had rent to pay, had a car to upkeep. And I had like baby food and formula and shopping. Like, don't underestimate when you live at home, just having food in the house. You've got to buy that food. That's ridiculous. That should just be there. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was for us growing up. It was just there. Food was just there.
I know. It's brutal.
And it's well expensive.
You have to spend money just to survive. And you have to work to earn money to survive. It feels brutal. For me, money meltdown has just been consistent from adulthood, from uni to now. My God, just, I shouldn't have had the options I had. It's like I've lived in my overdraft until you. I lived in my overdraft, constantly getting late fees, credit card debt, other debt. Like I could just never, ever get out of it. And any time I got out of it, I then just got straight back into it. And it, honestly, money was one of the biggest shames of my life. Because people just don't talk about it when you're in debt. It's so, you're so embarrassed.
I think no one can escape it. So like for me, I would worry about the prospect of not having enough money. You actually worried about not having enough money or being too much in debt. You were like actually experiencing it. And I remember when we were first together, before we went on our first holiday, you got a letter through or something to say, oh, your credit card limit is increasing by 1,000. And the actual words that came out of your mouth was, I've got an extra £1,000 to spend. And I'm like, no, you don't. That's not your money.
I know, but you have to learn that.
Yeah.
Credit card debt and overdrafts isn't your money. It is debt. And I don't know if I figured it out. I get paid a small amount per month on a debit card. I don't have credit cards anymore.
No.
And I won't have them. So like you just have to figure out your own
boundaries.
Oof.
Number two, career crisis. So for me, just being in a job for 20 years that I hated. It was funny. Like we went on holiday recently and the day before coming home, I was like, this feels amazing because I'm like happy to go home. I had a lovely holiday, but like I love my life, love my home. For so many years, that would have felt excruciating, like pressing. It would have felt like...
What, like the day before going back?
Oh, my God. Like, I'd try and cling on to the holiday as long as possible by going to bed as late as humanly possible. Like, it was such an awful feeling. But, like, but I was trapped there because I needed the money to for all of the stuff that we talked about in the last one, like food, survival, rent. And I had kids, like, I couldn't...
Oh, it's different if you've got kids.
Like, you have to provide. Yeah. Like, you have to. There's no choice. So I had to work a job that I hated.
So you stayed in a job that you hated for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was more about just changing jobs and never finding... I would have looked at someone like you and been, like, so envious that you... It looked like you were doing adulthood really well. Like, yeah. When we met, and I just had this checkered history of, like... I've been in a pub, I've worked at a record label, I've been a songwriter, I've worked in a random bank as an assistant, I've had a graphic design job freelance, I've worked for a magazine. Just like this checkered past of like 20 different jobs that I might have done for a few months or a year and then left. Like, I could never settle. And I hated the thought of like, oh, you need to find your passion in life. So I was like trying to find it. But then you just end up feeling like behind and useless and having no money.
I would imagine a lot of the people listening to this can relate a lot to what you went
changing
through.
Jobs.
It's funny when you say you need to find your passion in life because I can't help but laugh. Your passion changes frequently. Like, so how, that's why your jobs change.
I don't, yeah. And maybe that's okay that like your jobs change. I don't know. I feel like I had to grow up and try loads of different jobs and then meet you, therapy, get drinking under control. I had to do a lot of that before I could stick. I've kind of stuck to the ADHD side of things for a few years and music now for a few years. So I feel like I have found a bit of...
It's against the grain though. Like, it works for you, but that's not what you would ever read as advice. Like, it's okay to change jobs every year. Like, you just wouldn't, would you?
I know, but we all find our way. Whether you've been in one job for 20 years or had 20 jobs in 20 years, we do find our way.
Yeah. Next.
Oh, is it me?
Yeah, it's you.
Oh, wow. Love and loneliness.
Wow.
So 20s and 30s, we had, my God, really different experiences.
Yeah, we did.
So like, for me, it was dating over and over again, always thinking that I had found the one, always. I think you do in the beginning of a relationship. And then breaking up after about a year. And, you know, in your sort of teens, in your early 20s, you can kind of get away with that. Like, oh, you're a young person. That's just what you do. But as you get to your late 20s, early 30s, and all your mates are getting engaged and getting married and having kids, and you're still in this groundhog day, you just start to wonder, is something wrong with me? And it, yeah, it actually was. I did actually need some like therapeutic help to understand. But it's just horrible. And like each breakup for me got worse and worse.
Yeah.
As you're packing your bags again, moving out, saying goodbye to someone you thought you'd be with forever, saying goodbye to their parents who'd often become really, really close. Honestly, like with a breakup before you, I was honestly done. I was like, I'm just going to be single forever.
And that'd be lonely though, right?
Well, and I was lonely. I did 18 months, no dating, no anything, 18 months celibate. And I didn't get in any trouble. I didn't start any relationships. I'd have to leave. I was so lonely.
Yeah.
I had to go through that time, but man, it was tough. What about you?
We better not break up then, bubby, eh?
No, thank you.
No. Mine is well different to that. So... But I can relate to a lot. So I was married at 18, first divorce 25, got with my next partner at 26, didn't get married straight away. We were together for a while before getting married. So I was with them for 7 years, but I think I was only married for like just over a year. Because like Lily was at my second wedding. as like a little bridesmaid walking around. And then I met you, what, a couple of years after that?
Yeah.
Something like that. But what I can relate a lot to, and like it's, sorry, get me get my words out properly. I'm thinking and thinking that you know what I'm thinking. Friendships, I really can relate to loneliness, but mine's a bit like an oxymoron. It's like It's like chicken and the egg. Like, I would love really deep friendships, but I haven't got the time, patience, or willingness to commit to that. So, like, we just recently went on holiday with my brother, and I'm so close to my brother. Like, it's such a lovely, special relationship that we've got. And I see people with friendships like that, but I haven't got. I haven't got the willpower to build a friendship like that.
So are you saying you feel lonely now, like with friends?
Like sometimes, like not, I like my own company. I like watching movies, but I think like the holiday, spending time with my brother who I deeply love, it was like, maybe I am craving a little bit of like a close bond friendship, you know?
Well, you've got your golf buddy.
Okay, I've got.
And you can ring your brother more. It's tough, isn't it? That loneliness in... But I would
it would never happen because I'm really selfish with my time as well, and I can never be bothered to do anything. But not because I'm miserable, because I love being at home or pottering around a garden. It's just another example of why adulthood is quite a tip.
It's rubbish because you run out of time to actually do all these awesome things.
Right, next family drama.
Why are you
the expert at this one, right? You literally titled your second album Family Drama.
My EP.
Your EP, yeah. But like expectations, estrangements, in-laws, like as you get, it was, you know, for many it's not, but as you're a kid, it's quite simplified. When you get older, there's just more nuances and more complications.
As a kid, that's just your family.
Yeah.
And very often, I'm not saying you think they're perfect, but you kind of do. Kids see their parents as... the ultimate mum and dad.
You don't know any different.
You don't know any different. So that is quite devastating as you get older and you start to realise there is no perfect parent, and maybe you had a slightly less than perfect experience.
It's when you become aware of like, wait a minute, what, they did this? That's not okay.
Do you know what? The moment for me that messed me up the most with family drama was becoming a step parent.
Yeah.
Because I'd always, I lost my mum when I was 22, so I haven't had her. So like she was loving, she was amazing. A lot of the way I am now is like quite similar to my mum. But I didn't have a close relationship with my dad. He doesn't know how to be close emotionally. He could go months without talking to me. And that was normal.
Yeah.
I think my family drama has ended worse than yours. And we'll talk about yours like in a minute. But yeah, I've like lost my dad the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Tried to get in touch. I think he's blocked me now. So it's like, you never think about that as a kid, that one day your parent will have no interest in speaking to you. It's like, it's very strange.
Mine is... a bit different, like parents, for example. I think I went through a stage when I like gained awareness and my mental health got better. I would really like, or also I suppose I come to realize that there was no deep emotional conversations between me and my parents. And it was like, I longed for that for a while when I was during the therapy process. And, you know, I remember having a conversation with mum about, like, mum, you don't ever ask about me, like how I'm doing or how I'm feeling or whatever, all the stuff that we do with the kids. And it's like, why don't I get that?
Yeah.
I'm now more at peace, like, and you know, I still get on, I spend time with them, but I had to go through that realization is that that's just not going to happen. It's not in their wheelhouse. It's not even particularly their fault. Like that's how they grew up. I know their parents and they wouldn't have had any conversations about crying or emotions and stuff like that. So like, I get it. Like it's fine. But that was a bit of a learning curve for me. Yeah. The other thing when it comes to family with me is I've let go of this like expectation, you know, like this weird rule that family's family. That means that that supersedes everything. Mm. Behaviors need to be forgiven, all of that. I'm like, no, there's people in my family I don't like or want to spend time with. I just don't.
Mm.
Simple as that. There is no, yeah. I've like let go of all of this weird expectation.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing of adulthood is figuring out what does family mean to you? And like, yeah, it's, for some people, it's letting go of those strange rules that, by the way, for some families, that's going to work. Family is everything. Family number one, all best friends. Like,
it's
I'm in a way quite
though.
Envious of that.
I love it in one degree, but it's dangerous because it almost excuses people treating people like
it
shit.
It can. But then we're family and we're family with the kids.
Yeah.
And you know what it feels like to put us first and us be number one and also for us to be super happy.
But I guess I agree with that, but it's letting go of the thought that family equals unconditional love. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it with the kids because yeah. they're my kids, I'll unconditionally love them. But if there's other people in my family, if they treat me badly, it's not unconditional. Yeah. It's on the condition that you treat me with respect and kindness yeah. and care.
Oof.
Otherwise, that's it.
Yeah, it's big.
Mm.
Oof. Yuck. Right, next one. Health scares.
Right.
Which, again, when you're young,
you're invincible.
Like, you feel invincible till 30?
I think it's fairly recently that I, like, have started to feel a
late,
bit older. So I reckon 30s. Late 30s, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Maybe it's late 30s. And it comes at you quick.
On a smaller note, my eyes are starting to go. I need to get myself to the optician.
I'm like squinting at the cards.
Yeah.
A little bit. We're middle age now.
Oh, shush.
You're 40 this year. I'm 41 this year.
Yeah.
I noticed it in, it's like when you're young, you can, I don't know, have 4 hours sleep on a sofa and wake up and be fine.
You can't.
I need like 8 hours sleep. I have problems with my back, problems with my tummy, obviously with born female parts, the perimenopause,
yeah.
staring down the barrel of that. And it's like,
sleep is one for you. Like, you are a diva when you haven't had enough sleep.
I am a diva. Yeah, but I really like struggle with fatigue and tiredness. And then I've got like gluten intolerance and back pain. And then you're looking at moles and having to do smear tests. It's really, really scary. I remember taking your blood pressure.
Yeah.
And your blood pressure was like in the higher level. And I just remember freaking out.
Yeah.
And you had to quit vaping. We were in the gym.
Yeah.
We've got to get back to that.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay. Right. Number six. Right. You know, at the beginning of this episode, I was like, maybe you're not fully adult yet.
Okay.
This one is what I'm sort of referring to, where you sort of are a bit protected by it.
Yeah.
The never ending to-do list. So I'm talking bills, taxes, cleaning, appointments, car MOTs, shopping. And it's like, you do the shopping. It's like, wicked, that's done. 6 days later, you haven't got any food. You've got to go shopping again. It's like never
laundry,
end. Laundry.
Cleaning. It never ends. So I will hold my hands up and say, I don't take the lead on that in our household.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's not a panic.
Yeah, okay.
Because I'm not very good at it doesn't mean that I don't know that I need to be involved and it needs to be done.
Yeah.
And I sort of do try my best, but it's...
Bills and stuff you probably never think about anymore.
Well,
you used to.
Only because you helped me set up direct debits.
Yeah.
And then cancel loads of stuff I didn't need to be paying. I couldn't be like on top of regular letter. Like, who's sending letters that you need to open and pay a bill? So I've never grown up in terms of admin. You have, again, from a really young age, I guess from 17 when you moved out, you were doing a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, and I'm fine with it. When it gets to me is when, like, we're really busy. We've got when I was in the bank, although I hated it, what I did have was there was a set time every evening and weekends where I could do all of this sort of stuff. It was like, say, it was regimented. That's the time that do it. With our job, so weird and wonderful, there's never, it's like when we are busy or going through a busy period, it's like, oh God, I've been flat out this week. I haven't done the shopping. We haven't got, like, there's been points where we've got one bit of toilet roll, like between all the bathrooms, and it's just like moving around,
and you're
like,
using,
and it's like, oh my God,
the cardboard innards to wipe.
No, what?
Have you never done that?
No, I have not ever done that. Tell me you have. No, you haven't. Right, wait. You've run out of toilet roll, ripped the cardboard, and used that to wipe.
I haven't ripped it.
Shut up.
No, wait.
No.
Wait, I should clarify. I can't be the only one that's ever done this. Not for a number two. So for a number one, if I'm on the loo and I'm caught short, no toilet paper, but the roll is there, I'll just take that off and I'll wipe with that.
What do you do with it?
Put it in the bin. Don't, you're judging me so hard right now.
I'm sorry. Wait, I can't help it. This is involuntary. This face is involuntary.
You don't even wipe after wheeze. You say men don't even often wipe after wheeze.
No, just let it drip.
Right. So you're letting it drip. Why is me using the toilet roll worse than just dripping in my underpants?
Look, listen, I told you that was involuntary. I'm sorry. I've just never heard it before. And I can't imagine, like, why would you? Okay. All right. Why would you choose? I'm going to be a bit gross now. Why wouldn't you just, like, wiggle and shake? Why would you choose to get coarse cardboard and wipe that? What would it not be better to not wipe?
It works. It's surprisingly absorbent.
Okay. All right. Your go. That's crazy. Like,
having responsibilities like kids or pets, or being responsible for others.
And buying toilet roll.
You started early with being responsible for others. You was a little tween or teen.
Yeah.
What was that like? Was that a panic?
Of course it was a panic. It was, I love my kids, but it was horrendous. Like, I have no money. Like, there's no guidebook. Well, there probably is a guidebook. I didn't have the guidebook.
You didn't read it.
I didn't read it. It's so stressful.
But you'd done it, and then you'd done it again.
When I'd done it again, I was earning more money. I had a house. I was on the property ladder. I must have been 28, maybe.
Which is probably average. To me, there's probably something wrong with me, but I'm like 28. Is still so young to raise another human.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not as young as 18.
No, it's not.
So, like, yeah, it was really, really hard. And that's probably the biggest level of stress is being responsible. It's easy to go without or use the cardboard in the middle of the toilet roll to wipe or do stuff like that. It's easy to do that when it's just yourself that's maybe suffering.
Yeah.
But there is no room for error when you've got kids.
That's why you stayed in the bank, I guess, for 20 years.
Yeah.
Obviously, I didn't have that. I have avoided that responsibility my whole life. Coming a step parent, that's different because the responsibility is really on the mum and dad. And you're kind of a sort of bonus parent that sort of fits in.
Yeah.
The kids have got their own awesome mums that they've got their own relationships with. So you're sort of like...
Yeah.
You're just bonus. Although I don't know, I did really care about their like emotional development, and I definitely did read the parenting books.
Yeah, all of them.
But yeah, getting a dog, getting Rocket, that was a wake up call for me because we had him from puppy, and I was doing the 3 a.m. wee wee wake ups, and like for those first few months, I was a shell of my former self. Yes, wasn't you, I?
Yeah,
you and are. I was like, what have I done? Like, I've given up the freedom that I've held onto for 40 years for this little pissy puppy. But
the piss missile.
The piss missile. Often. But you do it, and I don't know, for me, and I just nothing like having a kid, but for me, that was my first little being responsible for something and rising to the challenge. And now I kind of love the responsibility of going for walks, training, making sure he's fed. It kind of, it helps you almost feel more adult.
Yeah, I agree. Right, we got three more left.
Okay.
The housing hustle. So renting, buying places, living with people, maybe flatmates or whatever. Like, it's just, and this is another one. This is a bit like food in the house, like you just expect it to be there. Having somewhere to live, that's well hard.
It's so hard. And there's some stat that's like, on average, people spend like 50% of their income on where they live, whether it's rent or mortgage. And that's just brutal, isn't
it? Like, did you say 50%?
I think so.
I bet it's more than that
now.
Do you
reckon?
I bet it is now. In the UK, it is anyway.
Just, you know, if I go back to first time I moved out, I was living in like university halls. And then it was trying to like rent accommodation. And then it was like spare rooms, my own flat, missed payments, getting evicted. I've had an absolute shocker. I ended up all my woes and mishaps in my mid-30s going from spare room to spare room.
Well, this is interesting. This is a bit like the money. You know, like I used to worry about the prospect of not having any money, where you actually was living in the world of not having any money. It's a bit the same as this. I would worry about paying the mortgage, paying the rent. But I always did because I was in a job that I hated. Whereas you were actually out there getting evicted and no places to live. I had a bit of an added level of pressure though, because my parents moved to Spain when I was 18. So like if I couldn't afford rent, well, two things, I had a kid, so I had to, and I didn't have anywhere to go if I couldn't. No. So like
literally no choice.
Yeah.
But yeah, even now, you know, we moved, we were renting for a few years. And then last year, it's the first house I've ever been a co-owner of at 40. And I'm so happy about that. But even now, like you see the money go out and you see how much goes on interest and how much you're paying off. It's
sickening.
It's
isn't it?
Absolutely just sickening. So yeah, that's a big old panic. Number nine is social pressure. So watching what everyone else does, what your peers do. So like at school, you're all like experiencing life at the same time. Your exams, your first partners, being on the football team, whatever it is, you're very like level. And then you start to go different ways. At 17, you went and had a kid. I went to uni. Yeah. And then at uni, some of my friends came out and got a job that they've still got. Some of them married their partner from uni, or a lot of them got married at mid-20s. And you witness other people living maybe what you think is the right life or the normal life. And there's a lot of pressure to follow that path. It's so interesting though, because I always see it as like, I never followed the path, I'm a failure. You did follow the path. You got married, had kids and had a job, and it still didn't make you happy. So it's like, what is the right path to follow?
I don't think there is one.
No.
I think I'm a bit of a weirdo with this one though, because I don't struggle with this. I don't care what other people are doing.
Do you really not?
Not, no.
I love that. I think that's really healthy. It's like you don't look through Instagram and see people celebrating stuff and think, wish that was me.
I don't look through Instagram. I look at Instagram because it's my job, but I don't consume it.
I love that.
And if I look at TikTok, it's people playing video games or dog training videos.
I guess.
That's it.
If you were married with a kid at 17, you never went through that phase. I guess maybe it's more people that don't get married or don't have kids.
Yeah.
So for me, never having kids as a woman, that is seen as like really going against the social grain, and you can feel very weird. But you've got to find your own way.
I'm going to end on the worst one.
The
I
worst
think,
one?
For me.
Sorry, guys. I hope this hasn't been too much of a downer.
The existential dread. Just everything's worrying, isn't it? Health, death, war, time flying. How you get, like, it's None of that. Stop. I didn't think about any of it when I was a kid. Now I think about all of it.
You're a kid and like you just wonder what you've got for dinner and can you stay up and watch TV and school and who's friends with who. It's pretty awful. I think the world at the moment, I don't know whether it's horrendous or it's because of social media and the news. Maybe we were more ignorant before social media. It's just, you know, I open my phone in the morning and it's like World War III and then there's an attack and then somebody's died and then, oh, Taylor Swift's engaged. You're like hit with, but you have the same like emotional reaction to all this stuff. And it's just...
It's like numbing, isn't it? I'm at a point now, though, when I'm like, oh, man, my kids are in this world. Like, that's horrible.
But that's part of the responsibility is like there's little people you're responsible for living in a world that feels very broken. And then also time flying. Like I've become... It must have been the last few years I've become much more aware of my age and kind of impending demise. Because I will think about stuff like the summer holiday we've just had, right? You said how fun you had and your brother was there. We had loads of family there, loads of your family there. And it was brilliant. And I'm like, cool. How many more of those do we get to do?
Probably only 30 that we would enjoy.
And that's if we live till 70.
Yeah.
God forbid we go sooner. But my mum was dead at 52. So I'd have 12 more summer holidays left. So I like count how much I have left. And that as time goes so much quicker as you get older, doesn't it?
Do you know that's actually true?
Yeah, because it's I do know it, but go and explain
so,
it.
So obviously time is time, like an hour is an hour. But as you get older, time speeds up because of the proportion to the rest of your life. So simple example, if you're one, a year is your whole life. So if like between one and two, that's like 50% of your life. But between 50 and 51, that's 2% of your life. So the perception of time is like, because it's such a small part of your, the whole time you've existed, it speeds up.
It makes so much sense because I remember being young and at school and like a school year felt like forever.
And a summer holiday felt like forever.
Forever. Whereas now it flies by and you look at your calendar, you're like, oh, I'll see you in October and that's 6 months away. But then all of it a sudden just goes here, yeah. And the years just go. And that's only going to get, we're 40. So that's only going to get quicker and quicker and quicker.
I'm not yet. So.
Welcome to adulthood. We hope we haven't made you feel too depressed with that one. Adulthood sucks, but also it's good because.
Some of it's good, isn't it?
Some of it's good. You can just go to a theme park if you want.
And you can eat dessert for dinner.
You can, and you can buy a new hoodie.
Yeah.
From Drop Dead, if you want. So if you enjoyed it, give us a like, a subscribe, a follow. We love having you here on the podcast and we hope to see you
next week.
Next week.